But how do you figure out who is the best lender when they're all screaming at you? Why don't you go to the mortgage lender that makes the most sense rather than the most noise? Take a walk on the boardwalk. Boardwalk Lending has been owned and operated in St. Louis for over 10 years. Mike and his team of experienced professionals are conveniently located in Chesterfield Valley. It's Boardwalk Lending at 636-536-6700, 636-536-6700, or at boardwalklending.com.
It's Steel Dealer Days. Steel chainsaws start at just $179.95. Trimmers at $129.95. Visit steeldealers.com. All prices MSRP.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Gagliotti.
And I'm Dr. Nick Barnes.
Tune in to the Maximize Living Radio Show Saturday at 4 p.m. and Sunday morning at 7 a.m. to maximize your life.
Right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Thank God it's Friday!
Crossed over. If I ever have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
You see, Willie's got a book out about his life?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Willie Nelson, I'm sure with a ghostwriter, has written an autobiography. And I saw him interviewed the other day, and somebody asked him about the guitar he plays, which, you know, has a big hole in it.
Right.
Which is named Trigger. There's only two guys I know who have named a guitar. B.B. King has Lucille, and Willie Nelson plays Trigger. And the interviewer said, is it true that Trigger got caught in a fire once? He said, yeah, my house caught fire, and the firefighters came and made us all leave, and I ran back inside to save Trigger. And the interviewer said, well, I'm sure that the wife and the family were thrilled about that. Yeah, Trigger pays the bills. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Dan Strauss, Ian Geis, all here with me. Colin Jeffrey will be here to talk showbiz next hour. Tim Whalen will be checking the roads. We'll play the Harris Challenge later on and Knuckleheads in the News. All of this is your way to officially know that the weekend has begun. Once we get here on Friday afternoons, the weekend is underway. I talked last week and two or three weeks ago about this app Periscope and how it was going to cause problems. And there were people at HBO who were upset because some people who had HBO were using Periscope to live stream the season premiere of Game of Thrones a few weeks ago to people who didn't have HBO. It was like you could steal HBO by watching on your laptop or your tablet or your phone something that somebody else was watching in their house and pointing their smartphone at.
That's same with the fight, I heard.
Well, that's what the latest one was, yeah. But that there's a big lawsuit now.
Somebody in the building told me, I can't remember who it was, that another local media person was one of the people that was
streaming
live
it?
Periscoping the fight.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I'm assuming it said its name, you know, when you set up your account.
Unless, do you make up, can you make up a fake name?
I don't know. Somehow they knew that. I don't know.
Maybe when they set it up, they used that 10-second email thing that you told me about. Or what is it, 10-minute email, right?
Yeah, 10-minute mail.
Well, I should explain what that is, because Ian tipped me off to this.
Oh, that's great.
Anytime you have to sign up for something online
that you know will end up, you'll receive
millions and millions
of spam.
Or even if they're just going to send you a confirmation email, you know, okay, your account is almost set up. There's only one more thing you have to do. We've sent you a confirmation email, and you click on that link, and then you'll complete the process, and you'll have your account set up for whatever it is. And so Ian told me about this thing, 10-minute email.
That's great.
That you use. Just use that.
I think it's 10minutemail.com, yeah.
Okay.
It's a disposable email address. It essentially self-destructs in 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes.
That's awesome.
So lots of people have probably used the same email address over and over again, although it seems like it's a random bunch of numbers and letters.
Yeah, I think it, I think it's all
good evening, Mr. Phelps.
Yeah, and then it self-destructs. And so it's great. So I would not be surprised to find out that people are getting Periscope accounts doing exactly that and then live streaming all sorts of stuff. And this is going to be a much bigger problem. I guarantee it. I mean, not just for closed circuit fights or pay-per-view fights like you saw with Mayweather-Pacquiao, because let's be honest, are there even other things that are on pay-per-view like that? I mean, I'm sure UFC...
Oh, wrestling. Look at wrestling. Wrestling's, yeah, wrestling's huge once a month on pay-per-view.
Well, on the movies, I guess you can consider that pay-per-view, where you rent a movie for $5.99 or whatever.
Yeah, but by the time it gets there,
people won't necessarily stream that.
Right. No, what I mentioned was the first time I, after reading about Periscope and Meerkat, which is the other one that's nowhere near as popular... I went to a press screening of a movie here, and many times for these press screenings, it's not just the press that's invited there. It's a screening that's set up as like a free preview, and so there'll be hundreds of people in there, and they're pretty good about policing the audience use of cell phones because they have security people who are hired by the movie companies to come. But I would not be surprised to find out that at some of these screenings, somebody has done something on Periscope saying, hey, you know, I'm going to the screening of the new, well, last weekend, it might have been the Avengers movie, and I'm, you know, I'll just point my phone at the screen and you can watch it along with me. Although I would think that listening to theater sound through a phone speaker...
Right, it depends. How bad do you want to see the movie?
Yeah.
Poorly.
Congratulations, you saved $8 and you watched Avengers, which I'm not going to go see, but if I did, I would only want to see a movie like that on a big screen.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch it on a 4-inch wide screen or even on my tablet.
No.
So I think you're going to hear a lot more about that. While we're on the business page of the show here, I read this yesterday in the paper that AB is in talks to possibly buy, well, their parent company, InBev, is in talks to possibly buy the parent company of Miller.
Really?
Can you believe that? That the same company, that there could be one gigantic beer company.
I think that's what InBev is actually shooting for, is just to be like the world's largest beer company. Which they may already be, but I don't know.
Can they do that?
I don't know. Is there regulation like that for beer? I remember when the FCC deregulated the phone company, and then all of a sudden there's all these Vonage and everything else coming out.
Yeah.
And AT&T was the company. They had to offer their lines leased to the other companies at a much lower rate,
because otherwise they would have a monopoly.
Yes.
Yeah. And didn't they just tell, or they didn't say, but they were going to say, Comcast, you can't buy Time Warner Cable, because it would make their company just too big and there wouldn't be competition. What makes capitalism work is there's competition. You have somebody else who's competing with you on price and service and that sort of stuff, and the government was going to tell them you can't do that, and Comcast actually withdrew the offer before that could be said. But I wonder if they could step in and tell AB InBev
that you can't buy
SAB Miller, which is the name of their parent company.
And I wonder if InBev is, because maybe they're based in,
They're Belgian.
Yeah, Belgian.
And SAB, I think, is South African.
Yeah,
so,
I wonder.
Oh, you think maybe American antitrust laws don't apply there?
Yeah, they may not. I don't know.
That might be the case. That might be the case. I'm just asking. I don't know. And then I have another thing I have to mention here. I don't really care about the NBA. I'm not a basketball guy. We're not a basketball town.
I'm with you on that.
And I certainly don't care about the WNBA. But there was a story that came out this morning that the New York Knicks have a WNBA team that I think is called the Liberty. And they have now hired Isaiah Thomas. Remember him from when he played in the NBA?
Sure. Yeah.
They've hired Isaiah Thomas to be president of their WNBA team, the Liberty. And I heard about this because I was reading Christine Brennan's column in USA Today this morning. I love Christine. She's a great sports writer and friend of the show. And I didn't know this, that Isaiah Thomas several years ago was sued for sexual harassment when he ran the Knicks by a woman by the name of Anucha Brown. He sexually harassed her so blatantly and so badly, Christine says, that a jury awarded her $11.6 million.
Whoa.
7.5 years ago, in October of 2007. Christine says that this woman, Brown, was the Knicks' senior VP for marketing and business operations when Thomas was the team's president back in 2004. Brown said that Thomas routinely addressed her as bitch and hoe in outbursts about marketing commitments. Later did an abrupt about face and declared his love for her, suggesting an off-site liaison. And there was testimony that he tried to hug and kiss her. She filed the sexual harassment claim in 2006, and she won the $11.6 million in 2007. And now the Knicks have said, well, let's see, we have a team of female athletes. Who would be best to put in charge of that? And they chose Isaiah Thomas.
Well, the NBA is not really the smartest organization, probably.
Here's what I would do. I would call up this woman, Brown. Say, by the way, we know it's been 7.5 years. You got your settlement. But you know what? We have a team here that we need somebody to run, and you were a pretty good executive. How about if you come in and run this?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, we have to hire Isaiah Thomas. I don't get it. Here's another one from the I don't get it department. Just a bunch of things on my desktop here. At the top of the show today. Did you know that until last year, police in Hawaii were allowed to sleep with a prostitute before busting her for prostitution?
Really?
I did hear that. Yeah, you got to get the evidence.
That was their argument. See, we're laughing, but that actually was their argument. Well, that became a big cause celeb in Hawaii, and that rule was changed. So they can't sleep with them. So now, when cops bust hookers in Hawaii, instead of charging them with prostitution, they charge them with sexual assault. Over the weekend, the Honolulu Police Department arrested 16 women working at massage parlors, but instead of charging them with prostitution, which would give them max 30 days in jail, they were booked for sexual assault in the fourth degree, which could put them away for over 90 days. Here's the thinking. Since Hawaii cops can't sleep with sex workers in order to make prostitution cases, they have to rely on explicit conversation about the transaction, but most of these hookers know not to be explicit in that way. When you go into the massage parlor, they're not offering their services outright like that. Instead, the massage parlor workers gauge the situation and then often will start in on the sexual action without hashing out the details first, and that's when the cops bust them for sexual assault. So, technically, you're not sleeping with them. You're just having other sexual activity. You know these guys are going in there to get off. And then they're busting the people who are getting them off. That's a good use of police resources right there, isn't it?
To get off in more ways than one.
Yeah. And then one last thing, and then we'll break, and I have a whole other topic for the next half hour. But this is a story from Aurora, Colorado. A woman named Lisa Pearson was upset when her 4-year-old daughter, Natalie, came home from school with a note from the school about the lunch that Lisa had made for Natalie. It read, "Dear parents, it is very important that all students have a nutritious lunch. This is a public school setting, and all children are required to have a fruit, a vegetable, and a healthy snack from home along with milk. If they have potatoes, the child will also need bread to go along with it." Let's just stop right there. If they have potatoes, they need bread to go along with that? Because you want to wash down your starchy stuff with more starchy stuff. Then it goes on, "Lunchables, chips, fruit snacks, and peanut butter are not considered to be a healthy snack. It's a very important part of our program. We need everybody's participation." So what had Lisa put in Natalie's lunch that got the school so upset? A little 4-pack of Oreos. She had sent her to school with a ham sandwich and a little 4-pack of Oreos. And somebody at this preschool saw the Oreos and said, "Nope, she can't have the Oreos." And they took it away and they gave her what they consider to be a healthier snack.
Oh, my goodness.
What is wrong with people?
And your own, the mother sent it.
Yes, the mother sent it with the daughter.
Yeah.
Now, it's not like she said, okay, honey, now here's some money and be sure to get French fries and donuts for lunch. Which we qualify, by the way, as if you're having potatoes, get bread with it.
Yeah.
But how about that for a school, a public school, to tell parents no and take away Oreos from a four-year-old kid?
Yeah.
What is wrong with people? All right, let's take a break. We'll come back in a minute here as the large morning show in the afternoon continues on the Big 550 KTRS.
I'm Kelly Jackson. Monday morning on McGraw Live, we check in with Gail Pennington as the series finale of Mad Men is quickly approaching. David Stokes joins us from the Show Me Institute, and a pair of Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists join McGraw to tell the story of the two women who were kidnapped in Cleveland. It's McGraw Live. Have a great weekend, and join us on Monday morning at 6 a.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hey, Cardinal fans, the weekend of May 15th, 16th, and 17th, you want to be at Busch Stadium. It's an interleague battle with the Detroit Tigers, and there are great giveaways all weekend long. Friday, May 15th, it's the Adult Cardinals Pullover. Saturday, May 16th, it's the Diet Coke and Schnucks Scarf Giveaway. Sunday, it's all about the kids with the Rawlings Matt Adams Kids Bat Giveaway. The weekend of May 15th, 16th, and 17th. Tickets available at cardinals.com/promotions.
The Cardinals are celebrating the 30th anniversary of the 1985 National League Championship. Monday, May 25th, you can join the celebration. 25,000 fans ages 16 and older receive their very own replica of the 1985 NL Championship ring, courtesy of Ameren, Missouri. This wearable ring is modeled off the rings that the players and coaches received 30 years ago. Tickets for Monday, May 25th are still available at cardinals.com/promotions. St. Louis Cardinals, tradition meets today.
Randy Naughton here. Do me a favor next time you walk through your living room, you know, the high traffic area in your house, kind of scooch the couch or maybe a chair out of the way. Is your carpet two different colors? Are there two different tones that's clean underneath your chair but not on the outside? It is time for you to take care of that. All of the winter time is just ground into your carpet, and it's time to get it out. True Clean Carpet can do it for you. 314-427-9500. True Clean Carpet was voted the number one carpet cleaning company by St. Louis readers of St. Louis Magazine. Also, Angie's List Super Service Award winner multiple times. True Clean Carpet doesn't use the shampoos that make your carpet sticky and gross to re-attract dirt. They use their True Steam Clean process that infuses the hot water into the fibers and extracts all that dirt and grime out. It's True Clean Carpet at 314-427-9500. Tell them Randy sent you and you'll get one room Scotch Guarded protected for free. It's True Clean Carpet.
Had a friend of mine call me up the other day and thank me for telling him about Bowen Dental Care. You see, my friend had some dental problems and he needed some dental implants. And he was doing research and he heard me talk about Bowen Dental Care. He heard me talk about there was a family-run dentistry handed down from generation to generation. He also found out that John Bowen, Dr. Bowen, has been not only educated but continues to educate himself on all the latest when it comes to dental implants. And then lastly, he loved the fact at Bowen Dental Care that it's one place. Many people will send you three or four or five different places to do the different surgeries needed for dental implants. But at Bowen Dental Care, it all happens at his office, his world headquarters in Florissant on Dunn Road. So if you need a family dentist, if you need Invisalign, teeth whitening, root canals, and yes, dental implants, Bowen Dental Care, B-O-A-I-N, Bowen Dental Care. They're online, BowenDentalCare.com. For the best family dentistry, Bowen Dental Care.
Meep, meep. And we're going to get a look at traffic right now. And for Tim Weiland is Frank Ladd. Hi, Frank.
Thanks, Dan. We're already starting to see that normal stretch of volume headed out of the city westbound on Highway 64. No major delays, but you filled in now. Science Center out to about McCall's. And same story, southbound on 170 approaching Highway 64. Brentwood down to 64. And 270 pockets south of Highway 64 down through Doherty Ferry. Can see some little more volume there as well. Eastbound on 64, some volume. Headed towards the Poplar Street Bridge, but certainly not stopping to go quite yet. This update brought to you by Staples. And Staples has everything you need to keep your workplace fed. From online granola bars and granola sales, as well as snacks and other cleaning supplies. Staples, check us out at staples.com. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Frank Ladd on the Big 550 KTRS.
Rip City's the place to take family or friends to watch a Cards game. Rib City has created a tradition unmatched by barbecued restaurants. Owner Greg Mathis and his daughter Jessie serve award-winning baby back ribs, St. Louis-style ribs, and sensational pulled pork. Rib City on Manchester, just east of 270 in the Colonnade Center. It's easy to find. Save room for that coconut cream pie. It's a delight. Hungry? Make it Rib City.
Art is good for the soul, and one of the best ways to view and purchase art is outdoors at the Laumeier Art Fair at Laumeier Sculpture Park Mother's Day weekend. Over 150 artists from around the country will exhibit their work at this nationally acclaimed fine art and craft fair. There will be wine and beer tastings, live entertainment, and a Mother's Day brunch. The Laumeier Art Fair begins Friday, May 9th at 6 p.m. and ends Sunday, May 11th at 5 p.m. For more information about the Laumeier Art Fair, go to laumeiersculpturepark.org.
It's the perfect time of year to seed and to reseed. What you need to know is DynaGreen and DynaGreenInfo.com. You can choose from a number of different varieties, the four-way fescue, the Turf Saver Plus with 10% bluegrass, or the HTC Bluegrass just like Busch Stadium. You have lots of different options of grass seed, but only one company, DynaGreen and DynaGreenInfo.com. Ask for it by name at your local lawn and garden dealer.
Available at St. Peter's Hardware of Alton and Pasiglia Nursery.
Join the barbecue revolution every Sunday night from 4 to 5 p.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
Join Frank and Kevin on the Big Barbecue Show every Sunday on the Big 550 KTRS from 4 till 5 p.m. This Monday, join Martin Kilcoyne and Randy Naughton as they moderate a roundtable discussion on issues in education, live from Ittner Architects, nationally recognized as a leader in school planning and design. The panel includes Dr. Brent Clark, the Executive Director of the Illinois Association of School Administrators, Roger Kurtz, the Executive Director of the Missouri Association of School Administrators, and Dr. Jim Rossborg, the President of the Illinois Council of Professors in Education Administration. Don't miss this special Kilcoyne show on the Big 550.
Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. There are the Birds. The guy playing that guitar right there, and the lead singer of the Birds, Roger McGuinn, going to be in Edwardsville tonight at the Wildy Theater. Don't bother trying to get tickets. They're all sold out.
That's a great theater. If you ever have a chance, if you've never gone to the Wildy, and you have a chance to go see a show there.
I do have a chance to go. I'm going to go see Roger tonight.
Oh.
It'll be my first time at the Wildy, and I hear great things about it.
Oh, you'll love it.
You know,
our
friend Al Canal is booking the talent over there now.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
So I'm looking forward to seeing Roger and Al as well. Also going to see Lewis Black tomorrow night at the Peabody.
No.
Think there might be a little ranting going on in the building?
Bit.
Yeah.
Unless he's changed it all, mellowed over the years.
One of the things he's been doing on this tour, which I assume he'll do tomorrow night, is towards the end, he takes out an iPad and answers questions that are sent in by people online and rants about those spontaneously on stage and streams it. They have a camera. I don't know if it's a GoPro camera or what it is, and they stream that online. You can actually watch it on therantisdue.com. That's the name of his tour.
Last night I got a phone call from a friend of mine in Dallas, and he also knows our buddy Tim that we grew up together that plays with Dave Matthews, Tim mm-hmm. Reynolds. And he said, go on CBS.com and just click look on live, watch live. They're playing on Letterman right now.
Oh, live on Letterman part.
So they were playing last night, and I couldn't get it up, but...
I'm sorry?
What?
What happened?
Whoa, I couldn't get it up on the computer. I couldn't get it to click. I couldn't get it to...
You forget it. You're in the...
Show up on the screen.
Okay, fine.
I know. But they're on... Dave Matthews Band is on tonight on Letterman, apparently.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I want to talk about something that I think a lot of people suffer from in one form or another. And I just recently realized that I'm one of them. I wrote a piece on my website, harrisonline.com, 2 or 3 weeks ago, about how I've always had trouble whenever I'm downtown in St. Louis or any other city, just walking along the sidewalk if there are grates on the sidewalk. You know, maybe the Metrolink stations are under there or whatever it
is. Downtown, they have those grates in the sidewalks.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah.
I can't walk on one of those grates.
Oh, really?
I have no phobias in my life. I'm not a fearful person. You guys know me. I'm not afraid of much anything. I can't walk on one of those. I think...
They're going to collapse?
Yes. I think that at some point when I was a kid, I saw...
Somebody fall.
TV news report about a little boy that was walking on one of those and fell in and either got killed or hurt or something. And to this day, I still can't do that. You know, I went to visit my daughter in New York a month ago, and you can't go 30 steps on a sidewalk there without encountering that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually the same way about manhole covers, or I just have a phobia of I'm going to fall through to whatever's below the street.
Wow.
It's not like I believe there's monsters down there that are going to eat me. I just think the fall is going to kill me. And I can't do anything about it. It's just, you can rack it up as a completely irrational fear, but I do. So I wrote about this on my website, and a woman named Lisa wrote to me and said, you know, I read what you wrote, and I think you might be suffering from the same thing that Jack Nicholson had in that movie As Good as It Gets.
Oh, the cracks and everything. He wouldn't walk on cracks and stuff.
What if this is as good as it gets?
Yeah, the cobblestones or tile floors, because the lines in that just kind of drove him crazy. Of course, he suffered from severe OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And so I started thinking about it, and I think I have a mild form of OCD, and I don't think I'm alone.
Oh, I do.
How does it manifest itself with you?
With certain things, I have to have things a certain way, and then also the yard, the lawn and stuff. I have to cut it a certain way. And I know it's really weird.
No,
and it's strange. And it's like if you don't, then it kind of drives you crazy. And if something happens different to alter that, it drives you crazy.
Now, I don't think we're alone in this. I bet if I open up the phone lines here, 314-969-KTRS or 1-888-550-KTRS, we will hear from people. I'm not talking about Howie Mandel level OCD, where he's afraid
to touch people or shake hands.
Or any of that. You know, doing that deal or no deal thing. He finally was able to do the fist bump with people, but that was it. He couldn't shake hands. And there was another guy who hosted a game show. Do you remember a Nickelodeon show called Double Dare?
Oh, yeah.
There was a guy named Mark Summers who hosted
Mark
that.
Summers, yeah.
And he was famous for not only being really worried about hygiene and that sort of stuff, but he really had OCD. I mean, he was a guy who, if he locked his car with the automatic lock on the door of the car and then he walked away with it, he would still have to use the key fob to make sure that it was locked and then go back and try it again. I mean, he really had it, and it was a major, major thing in his life. And I've talked to a couple of other people who've had it at a severe level. But I think there are lots of us walking around who just kind of had it at a mild level. You know, I don't sit in my house at night and wonder, did I remember to turn off that light? I don't have to go back and double check and do that sort of stuff.
Being OCD is too much work for me. I'm too lazy. I guess I'm too lazy to have anything that I'm OCD about.
I do remember at one point when I was a kid, I was kind of a frustrated drummer when I was a kid, and I was always with my hands on the thing on the counter, and then every once in a while I would realize, well, if I start with my left hand, that's not really fair to my right hand, and so I would have to do the right hand back.
Oh, man.
And then I would think, well, I started that group of four with my left hand, so now I have to do a group of four starting with my right hand, and then, well, wait a second, now in that group of eight, and then I finally, okay, stop that.
Yeah. That's OCD, that's crazy.
And my daughter won't like me talking about this, but it actually manifested in her life a little bit. When she was a kid, there was a short time where if you touched her or anything else, she always had to end down. Like if I would touch her back, come on, let's go. If I touched her and my hand was moving up, she'd go, no, no, Dad, rub down. You have to rub down. Or whatever it was, when she would rub her arm, it always had to be in a downward motion. She got over that. She had it for a few months, but that was definitely a mild form of OCD. And I don't think that we're alone in this world. Let's go to the phones. Dave, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, years ago, I used to work at Monsanto Chemical.
Uh-huh.
And every great once in a while, the sewers would explode. And when that would happen, all the manhole covers within that vicinity would go flying through the air.
Wow.
In fact, we had one guy named Fred that worked in another department. If he did his job properly, nothing was, there wasn't any problem. But if he drained off his excess into the sewer instead of waiting for it to go through the proper process, he regularly would blow up the sewers, and we'd hear the boom and say, oh, Fred's working tonight.
Now, wait a second. When you say regularly, you're talking about manhole covers popping up out of the ground into the air in large numbers?
Well, just the four or five or six that were in the vicinity of the explosion.
And how often would that happen?
Oh, every two, three, 4 weeks.
What? Once a month or so, four or five manhole covers would go popping up into the air.
Right. And so for a long time, when I'd be driving down the street and I'd see a manhole cover, I'd get a little nervous.
Would you drive around it?
Sometimes, yeah.
See, again, it's not a rational thing, but you know of a story where that happened, and so you thought, okay, there's something I got to avoid.
I would even think to myself, now I'm not at work. This is just the public street. It's not going to blow up, and I would still get nervous.
Wow. Who would have to go pick up the manhole covers and put them back?
The maintenance.
they must have loved your friend.
Oh, yeah. Gave them something to do.
Dave, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Jimmy, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Good afternoon, crew.
Hi.
Hi, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
How are you?
We're good, thanks.
All right. Yeah, I understand Fred's on assignment.
Yes.
I was just going to say, my deal as I get older is the bridges. As I drive, there's a bridge there in Baltimore. They were in the news here lately. It's called Francis Scott Key. It's like going up on a roller coaster. And it's just like all you see is sky. Very nerve-wracking.
And when you go on that bridge, are you afraid that you're going to fall off the bridge and go into the water?
Yes, or somebody's going to run into me and push me off.
I've heard of people who are so afraid of bridges, they can't go over a bridge. And in some cases, it's so extreme, they can't even go over an overpass, which makes me think, how can you ever go anywhere?
How can you drive?
Well, the more I drink, the less I drive, so. Well,
that's good.
That's a good thing.
I wanted to say, you guys got a pretty good show 95% of the time.
And this is the other 5%?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks for contributing to that, Randy. Thanks for helping bring the average down. Randy, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hello, boys. AM and PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I just wanted to add my own little idiosyncrasy OCD example to your discussion there.
Yeah.
I will, at whatever I'm eating, I will make sure that I chew equally on my left side and my right side. So if I have something to take like four bites, two will have to be on my left and two would have to be on my right, and alternating, not like two in a row and then two more in a row. But alternating.
This is really good, and the alternating thing is really interesting to me. So if you took like a bite of steak, okay.
Right.
Do you have to alternate which side you start on?
Like if I got down to the last piece, and I just finished, like I started on my left and then went left, right, and I got down to the last piece and it was an odd and I ended on the same one I started with. I have to cut that in half so that I went one more left and one more right.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Don't know when it started. I don't know why it started, but all of a sudden I recognized I was doing it, and I just have always done it. I don't know why.
So while you're conscious of it, can you tell your brain, look, forget about this, and just kind of randomly mix it up, or does that just screw up your day?
It wouldn't screw up my day. I mean, I could do it. I wouldn't, be hospitalized because of it, but, I can choose to do it or choose not to do it, and I choose to do it.
But if you don't do it, it bugs you, doesn't it?
Maybe at the moment. I mean, I can go on with my day, but at the moment, I think to myself, why not?
Yeah.
I guess that's what makes it OCD. Huh?
This is the sort of stuff, some people might be listening to us talk about these things and going, these guys are crazy. But it's not. I mean,
Who's not?
Everybody has a little bit of crazy in them. But I don't really consider this to be a mental health issue or anything like that. And if it is, it's at the lowest possible level on that scale. Because we're still functioning human beings. We can still go through life. It's just You know,
I think I have a very high quality of life and a very functioning human being in society, but it's just some weird idiosyncrasy that I have.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it, Randy. I'm glad you called. Thanks.
All right, boys. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Here's Sherry on the Big 550. Hello.
Yes. All I was going to do is agree with you. I think we all have a degree of OCD.
How does it manifest itself in your life?
Pardon me?
How does it manifest itself in your life?
Well, it's just like a routine. People don't, you know, do the same thing, different, you know, the same way. And just organize, people who organize and or don't organize. And I just think everyone has it a little bit or varying degrees of it.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't think it's, you know, I think we're just born with some degree of it.
And I think those of us who suffer from it, may not even realize it, but if you do realize it, you kind of keep it quiet because you think, oh, I can't tell anybody about this. They'll think I'm a freak. And the reason I'm talking about it here today is so people go, oh, there are other people who have this tiny little thing in their brain that's not ruining any part of their lives, but it still is there.
Well, the fact of a person trying to see if their door is locked, and they keep trying it like five times after they've already locked it.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. But that, I think we all have some degree of it, whether it's little or a lot.
All right, Sherry.
I think we all have it.
I agree, and I'm glad you called. Thanks. Here's Chris on the Big 550. Hello.
Hey there. You were talking about those grates on the sidewalk?
Yes.
I work in a factory where, in some places, that's the entire floor is like that, and the catwalks are like that.
Oh.
And when you're looking down, you can sometimes see the floor below you, the floor below that, and sometimes down even like three or four stories down.
How is that for you?
You know, it's funny on like the really big floors, you kind of almost don't think about it, but when you're on like the catwalks and you're looking down like both sides over the railing and you just think, oh my God, if this rail broke, I'll fall like 40 feet.
Yeah.
Onto concrete. That sometimes can be a little queasy, but I looked at how they're connected, and they are really solid. So I have some faith in the engineers who built it. But
see, it's a little bit different for me because I don't have a fear of heights. I think I could be up on a catwalk, and I'd be okay. It's just I think the reason the sidewalk grates get to me is because I'm going to be falling into a pit of who knows what and getting run over by a Metrolink train.
I can't. I was on a stairwell a couple weeks ago that was like that, and it was up high, and it freaked me out because I started walking up, and the grates, and you look straight down, and I had to look up, and I held on to both rails and kind of almost crawled up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always make sure I hold on tight.
Yeah. All right, Chris, I'm glad you called. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Dan, are you aware of how Ian's looking at us as the show is progressing today?
Oh, like rolling his eyes?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, old fart?
Two freaks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Paul, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
So if Ian's rolling his eyes at you, I'm sure that they're going to explode out of his head when I explain to you exactly my compulsive disorder.
Okay.
So actually, the smartphone saved my life over this, quite frankly, because I would have this issue where when it came time to go to bed, I would have to open the service door to the garage to ensure that the garage door was closed and convince my mind that it was in fact closed. And so I would have to go and do this four or five times, making that trip from the bedroom back out to the garage service door.
Now, when you would do it the first time, and then you would go back to your bedroom,
the whole way saying to myself, the door's closed, the door's closed, the door's closed. And when I would get back to the bedroom at that very instance, I'd be like, damn, was the door closed?
Wow.
And so I got smart. I got a smartphone, and you know what? I stick the smartphone out there. I take a picture. So that gives me a level of comfort. I rarely even look at the picture to ensure that the door is closed. I know that if I need to, I can. So that pretty much took away. And so now I've actually compressed the compulsion to taking a picture of the door before I go to bed.
And then you look at the picture 10 times.
No, I don't look at it because I know I can if I need to.
You know it's there.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course, then, you know, the other part of it is I better plug the phone in so it's charged. So if I need to look at that picture.
I rely on my phone heavily for work. So that's I don't even think about it. That's just an automatic response, you know.
That's a really good one, Paul. Thank you very much.
You bet.
All right, here's Carl on the Big 550. Hello, Carl. Carl? Carl is listening to his radio and is going to hear my voice in a couple of seconds and realize that he's on the radio but doesn't know he's on the radio. And there
Happy
he is.
Friday.
Turn
hey,
your
Carl.
Radio down, Carl. Everybody right, else, turn you. Your radio up.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I got you. Hey, what's going on? Yeah, great subject. I got two for you. One is more of a phobia. What about open doors, open voids at night in your bedroom, like an open closet or an open door? Kind of freaking you. Freaking you out.
I'm actually a little bit, this is another one I didn't even think about till you said that. I'm actually a little bit compulsive about doors. Like, we have a pantry in our kitchen, you know, where we keep, you know, spaghetti and cereal and that sort of stuff. And there are times where I'll close the door, but it doesn't close all the way. And if I'm across the room and I see that it's open just a little bit, I have to go over there and close that door.
Yeah. Or, you know, you're in a hotel room and you got maybe a slider that is open. You got to make sure that's closed or partition to another. The problem is now my kids have it. So when I put my kids to bed, I got to make sure all the closet doors are closed, the bathroom doors closed, or else they got the same suspicion that evil spirits are going to be coming out of the closet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nice.
Wow. I will tell you honestly that I have something worse than that. If I leave the sliding closet doors in our bedroom open, even just a couple of inches, I don't have anything going on in my brain. I have something going on in my wife's brain that makes her say, "Why are you air conditioning the closet?" And so because I don't want to get in trouble with her, I always make sure the damn doors are closed.
Yeah.
I think that's where it comes from, Carl. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Have a good weekend. Here's Steve on the Big 550. Hello.
Hey, Paul.
Hi.
I just wanted to bring up the thing on Everybody Loves Raymond, where Raymond would always give Robert a hard time. Whenever he'd eat, he'd pick a spoonful or a forkful, and he'd bump it on his chin before he put it in his mouth.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, just wanted to bring that one up. You guys got a great show. I love it.
Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate it. Hi, Jim. You're on the Big 550.
Hey. I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you.
I'm a counter.
What do you count?
I count everything. I've gone up and down my basement stairs probably 50 million times, but it's I have to count every time.
How many steps are there?
How many steps are there, Jim?
There's 12.
And every time you go down, do you go 1, 2, 3,
every
4?
Every time. I think it probably rooted in, I used to travel a lot for the company.
Yep.
And they always tell you to look, you know, how far you are from any exit on an aircraft, you know, so you can your way to an exit when air and
Yeah.
But I even did it before then.
Now, I have a possible explanation for your counting, particularly the stairs thing. I don't have one for everything else, but I had a friend named Jay who only started counting the steps when he walked downstairs to his basement to get something, didn't realize that there was one more step to go, missed it, fell, banged his head on the concrete wall, and from then on, whenever he went down, whether he was carrying something or not, he would do exactly what you're doing. 1, 2, 3, 4. And, he would go, when he got to 13, one more, it's 14. Don't stop now.
Surprisingly, I do miscount every now and then.
And there's that scary step, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going down, and you think there's one more, and you hit the bottom, the concrete floor, and it's not there.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, as long as there's no grate at the bottom, it's not a problem.
Right.
I'm glad you called, Jim. Thanks.
Aye, sir.
All right. Next hour, Colin comes in here and reviews the new Reese Witherspoon, Sofia Vergara movie, and lots of other showbiz stuff ahead, plus the Harris Challenge and Knuckleheads in the News in the 5 o'clock hour here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
All right, some guy just called and said, I prefer to call mine CDO because I have to alphabetize it.
I like that a lot.
I know. All right, we're going to check the highways right now with Frank Ladd, and we did have a caller call in. 70 westbound is really backed up from 5th Street up to Cave Springs, but everyone seems to be looking over at maybe a funeral procession for a firefighter and everything. He said there are, like, lots and lots of fire trucks and everything over. So on the North Service Road, So a lot of people are looking at that. How do the rest of the roadways look, Frank?
Well, that's a very accurate report. I'm over here turning my microphone on and off and on and off and on and off. Yeah, 70 westbound, seeing that volume headed past 94 out through Cave Springs. Also, a couple accidents out there to be aware of. Southbound 170 before Ladue, the center lane is blocked. You're backed up to Del Mar. Westbound 44 just after Arsenal, the right lane is blocked. Looks like a car spun out, blocking the right lane there. Slow saw passing both incidents. Westbound 64, you're heavy now between the Science Center, McCausland. Eastbound 64, slow between Jefferson and the Poplar. Eastbound 44 between Grand and 55. And 55 northbound, slow between 44 and the Poplar Street Bridge. So southbound 170, slow pocket south of that incident from the Parkway down through Highway 64. 270 southbound, a heavy stretch between 64 and Manchester Road, as well as south of Big Bend down through Gravois. This update brought to you by Choice Hotels. When you need to travel to an old friend or coworker, there's a Choice Hotel nearby. Plus, you can earn rewards for your stays as a member of their Choice Privileges program. Visit choicehotels.com and find a hotel where you're headed. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Frank Lett on the Big 550, KTRS.
Spend your Sunday afternoons with KTRS. At 3 p.m., it's the Girard Realty Show.
Basically, if the house doesn't appraise for the value that you've agreed to pay, the buyer has three options.
Followed at 4 by the Big Barbecue Show.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. Good afternoon, barbecue enthusiasts. We are broadcasting live from St. Louis Home Fire.
All this adds up to one extraordinarily indisputable fact. Sunday afternoons are special on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's almost here, and it's celebrating its 14th year. Art on the Square, May 15th through the 17th at Belleville's Public Square. See over 100 artists from around the country and around the world. Meet Tiffany Brooks, HGTV Design Star winning designer, on the Living with Design Arts stage Saturday and Sunday. There'll also be a fantastic array of food and wine available for your enjoyment, along with musical acts all weekend long. Shuttle service is provided from the Shield Street Metrolink station. There's fun for the whole family, and admission is free at Art on the Square.
How many companies can trace their roots back to the 1904 World's Fair in Forest Park? Renoco Coffee Can and our headquarters and roasting plant are still located in the heart of St. Louis. We have grown with this city, and today, with thousands of customers in the region, our passion is serving those who serve our products.
It's Steel Dealer Days. Steel chainsaws start at just $179.95. Trimmers at $129.95.